It's something to shout about. You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It's topical, it's non-political, it's the first drip-dry radio program.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new,
it's heartwarming,
it's non-habit forming.
We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
It's the most sensational thing since Lady Godiva bought a hairnet. It's new, it's different, but it's no better. It's the non-habit-forming show with the miracle mystery ingredient, people. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims and a cast of several bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
There. Now, let me see. Page 46.
Deep, deep down in my deepest heart, I want you back again.
Please, please, please go. You're making me cry so dreadfully.
Crush is left, choking with emotion.
Morning, Janet.
Please, please go. You're making me cry so dreadfully.
But I've only just come.
Crush is left, choking with emotion. Oh, good morning, Michael.
Now, far be it from me to complain, Janet, but even if you are crossing left, choking with emotion, I resent being told to go the second I arrive.
Well, it's your own fault for being so early.
What a monstrous accusation. I'm never early.
Well, you are this morning. I've typed the outstanding letters, and I was going to have a nice quarter of an hour learning my lines.
Your lines?
Oh, I'm going to star in a play by Noel Coward with the Maid of Ale Thespians.
The who?
The Maid of Ale Thespians. That's my new local dramatic group.
Sounds more like a rugger club.
You wouldn't say that if you could see them. We're dreadfully short of men. Oh, Michael, why don't you join?
No, thank you. I don't want to be shared out like an iron ration. Well, to work. What's on the diary for today?
First appointment is the Squench Conference.
Oh, dear, what time does that start?
Well, according to the diary, in half a minute from now.
Oh, good grief, I must go.
Oh, yes, please, please go. You're making me cry so dreadfully.
I know.
But we must be terribly, terribly brave, Amanda. I'll see you again whenever spring breaks.
Now then, where was I? Making me cry so dreadfully.
Don't speak. I want this moment. I want this moment to go on forever. You look so ridiculously attractive in this damned moonlight, Amanda. Moonlight can be cruelly deceptive.
What's that, a new advert for soap?
Well, it just happens to be the work of Noel Coward.
Noel Coward? Well, what department's he in?
Me. Noel Coward is our most distinguished writer. He lives in Jamaica.
Oh, then he can't work here because he'd never get home for lunch. Now, where's the Squinch Conference? They sent me up from the typing pool to take notes there, but I can't find it. Been all over the building.
The conference room is the next room to this.
Oh, well, if they ring, tell them I'm on my way down.
You mean along?
No, I mean up, really. I've just remembered I've left my notebook in the basement.
It's no use promoting Squench as just another orange juice.
You're so right. We've got to get a new twist ad-wise.
I've got it. The oranges come from Seville, don't they?
Yeah.
Right. Then how about this? It may be made by civilians, but it's worth fighting for.
Adrian, please.
Now, Maggie, it wasn't all that bad. It was just a little idea that came to me.
When they come that little, you ought to throw them back.
Oh, good morning, all. I hope I'm not late.
Well, no, Mavis, only about 4,000 light years.
Well, Mavis, do you feel like taking a few notes?
Oh, in a minute. I must get my breath back first.
Now, where were we?
Oh, I know. We must find a gimmick. I mean, why is Squench different from other orangeade?
It doesn't taste so good.
Let's forget about the taste. From the point of view of a TV commercial, Squench would look good if it was sold in some novel sort of pack.
How about the shape of the Eiffel Tower? Then you could have the slogan, 50,000 squenchmen can't be wrong.
Now, this orange juice is made from the finest Spanish oranges, right? So the bottle must suggest something typically Spanish. Castanets or...
I say, what about toreadors?
Well, who's that? Diana Dorsey's sister?
No, get lost.
Look, careful. That's something she does so easily.
You know, I think we've got it. Toreador. Bullfighters. We'll make the bottle in the shape of a bullfighter. It'll be novel, exciting, exotic. People won't just be drinking squench. They'll be drinking in the drama of the bullring.
Blue skies, harsh sunlight.
Bravery, despair.
Blood and sand.
Oh, fancy selling bottles of blood and sand. Juice.
It is going to be orange juice, and yet more than an orange juice. Squench in a bottle shaped like a bullfight. Oh, what an idea. When people buy squench, they'll get this wonderful bottle thrown in free.
We'll make it a really beautiful bottle.
I feel the slogan's coming. Beautify your home and fruitify your family.
That's it. Solve all your problems with sun-drenched squench. Oh, this is marvellous.
Anybody got a pencil sharpener?
Maggie, can you go ahead on the TV commercials?
Yes, sure. Just as soon as Adrian lets me have some copy.
Well, I'm picking over. How about this? You make a TV commercial showing a happy, laughing housewife giving squench to her happy, laughing children. Then her husband comes in singing, I've grown accustomed to her squench.
And then, with gay abandon, she snatches the bullfighter-shaped bottle from his hand and they do a fandango around the kitchen sink.
I think we're on the right lines.
Oh, good. I'll phone the client and tell him to stand by for record sales.
How do you spell Olay?
Janet, I just don't understand it. The most wonderful advertising campaign we've had for years, and yet the sales of Squench are disastrous.
Is it still not selling?
It's more not selling than it ever was.
Oh...
Adrian!
May I come in?
What's the matter with you?
I've got an absolute beast of a hangover.
And what were you doing last night?
Research. I was trying to get a new angle on squench, something to push the sales. So I tried it with vodka, tried it with gin, and I tried it with whiskey.
What did you get?
Plastered. Oh, the pain, the pain. That vodka, I feel as though my stomach had gone into orbit.
That's nothing to the rocket I got this morning. J.S. is blowing his top about the squench account.
No, what do you say?
If I leave out the bad language, nothing. Oh, the squench people are absolutely furious. They're threatening to withdraw the whole account unless something happens quickly.
Oh, Janet, I wish you'd stop typing the noise.
I'm not typing.
Aren't you? Oh, it must be my wristwatch.
Well, take it off, will you?
I haven't the strength.
Oh, Adrian, pull yourself together. Now, what are we going to do about this campaign? We've got to think, old boy.
Well...
Maybe we should... I beg your pardon. You're obviously in conference.
Oh, that's all right, Maggie. We were just trying to get a new angle on squench.
Well, perhaps I could give you a few wrinkles.
Who better?
Because I happen to have the latest report with me.
Oh, and read me the worst.
Well, here's the breakdown. Week ending June the 3rd, TV commercials, total cost £10,000. National press advertising, £6,000. Hoardings, £2,000.
£18,000 altogether?
That's right. And do you know how many bottles of squench were sold?
Surprise me.
3.
I demand a recount.
Now, look here, the only thing to do is, I know what, an on-the-spot research. That's it. That's the angle to go on. Let's get an observation team down to the local supermarket and check on the consumer reaction to the product. We'll have a TV camera hidden all over the store, concealed tape recorders, the whole lot. We'll get the research team to install the equipment this afternoon and we'll go round to the supermarket first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, so there we have it, gentlemen. From this observation room, we're able to observe any area of the supermarket in which you're interested in.
Very ingenious.
Thank you.
So, as soon as the customer enters the store, you're able to keep tabs on her until she leaves.
Exactly. There are TV cameras concealed all over.
Oh, it's uncanny. You don't miss a thing.
Now, I'll just switch on and you'll observe on those screens over there.
Oh, help. I can see 6 TV screens. Even last night, the most I saw was 2.
Now, these 6 cameras give you the layout of the store.
Where's the squench display?
Over there on screen number 3.
Oh, yes, I can see it all right. But how can we hear what the customers are saying?
You see that cow by the butter display?
Uh-huh.
Well, it may surprise you to know that it's not a real cow at all. Oh, dear me, no. It's stuffed.
Stuffed? What with?
Microphones.
Cow stuffed with microphones? Must be the only one in existence.
No, it isn't. The archers use one.
Now, there's just one thing that's puzzling me. That Spanish senorita by the squench stand. Is that a member of your staff, or is a camera in disguise?
Both. The top half is our Miss Wilson, but you'll notice she's wearing a very full skirt, under which...
You haven't sawn the poor woman in half.
No, no, no. We found a much easier way. Although she appears to be standing, Miss Wilson is in fact sitting down on a camera.
Oh, look. There's a couple of shoppers admiring the display. Can you see them?
Oh, yes. The one with a hat on is showing a bottle of squench to her friend. What's she saying?
I'll turn up the sound.
Mrs. Packer tried a bottle of this last week. She was telling me...
Nice, was it?
Very nice, she said.
Oh, good.
The bottle's a nice shape too.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Oh, splendid. Now they're going to buy it.
Very nice. What's it supposed to be?
Well, Mrs. Packer said it was a beef eater.
Oh, really, the silly old...
Doesn't look like a beef eater to me.
It's a bullfighter. Don't you know a bullfighter when you see one?
It's the wrong shape. But that's what Mrs. Packer said.
What's inside it? Beef tea?
Beef tea?
Mrs. Packer didn't say. But she said it was nice.
Why doesn't she read the label?
Perhaps she can't read.
I can't read the label. I haven't got my specs with me.
Squinch, she said it was called.
Doesn't sound very nice. If you ask me, Mrs. Packer's been having you on.
Oh, the stupid woman's putting the bottle back on the stand. Oh, no, don't.
Well, since you mention it, I don't like Mrs. Packer and I never have. Come on, let's go and buy some bleach.
Oh, all the blithering. I can't believe it.
Oh, neither can I. It's the best thing I've seen on television for years. So terribly real. I say, look at that girl coming in. Don't I know her?
You ought to. It's Mavis.
I say, that's a bit much. Doing her shopping during office hours. Turn up the sound.
Madam, would you kindly ask your kitty to stop breathing on my frozen kidneys?
Bang in the middle of screen four. Now she's taking the corner by the detergent counter.
And here she is at the squench counter on screen two.
I wonder if she'll buy a bottle.
She must.
She's having a word with our Miss Wilson.
Oh, yes. That's the one sitting on the TV camera.
That's right.
Strictly entre nous, I'm a bit worried about the bottom of my bucket bag.
Oh, this is getting absolutely nowhere. We must get some results by this evening.
I say, pardon me for mentioning it, but I think I can smell something singeing.
What's happened? The screen's gone blank.
Perhaps it's time for the commercial.
Oh, dear. It's happened again.
What has?
Our Miss Wilson. She's blown a fuse.
Phew. What a day it's been. I'm exhausted.
Me too. My head's spinning around and I don't even know what I'm doing.
Now, don't pull that one on me. We're in the saloon bar of the Horse and Groom, and it's your turn to buy the drinks.
All right, I can take a hint. What are you having?
Well, I think I could force down a pink gin, providing it's a double.
Florrie, two doubles, please. Now, have you got your notes?
Yes, here we are.
Oh, thanks. Now, well, let's see. We were in the supermarket for 8 hours. During that time, 283 women approached the squench counter, showed great interest, but didn't buy. Now, why?
Well, if you ask me, the root of our trouble is the bottle. I think the average housewife has an unconscious fear of unorthodox shapes. Now, take Mavis, for example.
Oh, come, come. Her shape may be a little overgenerous, but it's hardly unorthodox. Now, the point is, how do we overcome this resistance? Oh, I say, look, there's Maggie and Janet in the other bar. Maggie!
Hello there, we've been looking for you.
Come round and join us.
Okay.
Michael, who's that Tweedy bod? The one the girls are talking to.
No idea. Oh, don't worry, he's going anyway.
We arrived at the supermarket just after you'd gone. Thought we'd find you here.
Well, Michael, have you solved the squench problem?
Yeah, look, we've got to show the public that the other people are buying it. Then they'll start buying it. Oh, I wish I'd never taken the squench account.
I say, girls, who was that bod you were talking to?
Oh, he's a TV technician.
Well, he can't be. He looks so shabby and unloved.
Not with a commercial, dear. BBC.
Oh, I see. Well, what's he doing here?
Well, you know that magazine programme Dick Dimblemore does called This Afternoon?
The one that goes out every evening?
That's it, and they repeat it on Sunday.
And call it next week. Yes, I know the one.
That's it. Well, on tomorrow's programme, Dick Dimblemore is going to interview people on the streets. That technician chap, he was sizing up the location.
Here, wait a bit. Supposing every time Dick Dimblemore asked a question, the people he interviewed mentioned squench.
Yeah, but how do we know what sort of people he's going to interview? I mean, what sort of people he's going to stop?
Well, that technician would know. Now, where is he?
He's in an outside broadcast van. It's parked in the alleyway, but he won't tell you.
No, but he'll tell Janet. Janet, darling, oh. I've got a little job for you.
Hello? Who's there?
A friendly stranger.
Go away. This is a BBC outside broadcast van. It's private. You can't come barging in here. This is government property.
I had to follow you here. I find you so terribly interesting.
Oh, stop it, please. You're treading all over my coaxials.
Well, now, look, I'm a woman and you're a man. 100% all man.
Oh, dear.
Now, would you do me just a teeny-weeny little favour?
Anything, but please go.
That interview programme tomorrow.
Yes?
Well, tell me, what's it about? What sort of people will Dimblemore be looking for?
It's all there on that programme sheet. Oh, no, no, please, don't take it.
Let me put your arm round my waist.
Oh, I say, I've a good mind to have your licence endorsed.
I've never seen anything like it. Your arm, it's so big, so strong. It's
yes, I know. I grew it myself.
Well, that's so clever. Do you know, I honestly think you're the most fascinating man in the whole television series.
Really?
Crazy fool that I am. I can't fight it. I can't keep away.
Oh, stop, please. You're pushing me against my apparatus. Oh, I say... Oh, dear. Oh, now you've set off my oscillators. I say, come back with my...
Janet exits hurriedly, flushed with success.
Now, cut out the dramatics. How did it go?
Did you get the information?
Yes, it's all on this programme sheet.
Good, let's see. Here. Ah, here we are. It's an interview programme about modern youth. He wants to interview one or two typical beatniks, a couple of parents, and some of the older generation.
Well, between us, we can supply that lot.
And don't forget the squinch.
Hello, viewers. Dick Dimblemore here. Good evening, and welcome to This Afternoon Tonight. At the moment, I'm standing... on my feet in one of London's busiest streets. And now, tonight, that is the evening, this afternoon, is examining the problem of juvenile delinquency. And first, let us get the reactions of a typical teenager.
Yoo-hoo! What about me, Daddy-o?
Yes, we'll start with you. Well, viewers, as you see, this young lady... standing beside me is a typical teenager. She's wearing jeans, a sweater with the words "I love squinch" written across her front. Now, what is your name?
Mavis Willis.
Well, Mavis, and how old are you?
Well, actually, I'm 14 and a half next birthday.
I'm a very big girl for 14.
Drink, the best orange drink on the market. I just happen to have a bottle with me. It's called...
Oh, put that away. Now, Mavis, do you have any boyfriends?
Oh, yes, there's Stevie. He's the most. I like him because he's always buying me squinch. And on the way home, he tries to squeeze it out of me. See, I just happen to have a bottle with
put
me.
Put that away! Now, tell me, Mavis, tell me, do you feel that there are other things in life besides rock and roll?
Oh, yes, there's Speedway, pictures and squench. I just happen to have a bottle here. It's shaped like a bullfighter.
Put that thing away. Thank you very much. Now, I do feel that we should get another opinion on this matter. Thank you and goodbye.
I'll see you later, commentator.
Now, viewers, on my left are a couple who look like visitors to London.
Come on, Adrian.
Is that right, sir?
Aye, that's right.
Might I ask your name?
Albert Squench.
And this is my wife, Gladys Squench.
Seem to have heard that name before.
Well, Gladys is a very common name.
And where is your hometown?
Blackpool.
Halifax.
I beg your pardon?
Halifax.
Blackpool.
Tell me, are you enjoying your stay?
Well, it poured with rain yesterday.
Aye, and we got absolutely squenched.
I'm sorry to hear that. Now, do you have any children?
Two.
Four.
Four? Two? Well, don't you know how many?
I just told you, 42.
All together?
No, one at a time.
And do you have any trouble with your teenage children?
None whatsoever. We break them all up on squint.
Madam, will you kindly stop brandishing that bottle at the camera?
It's the shape of the bottle that does it.
The kiddies like it, and it likes the kiddies.
Yes, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, we really must press on and seek another point of view. So, let us turn to a typical Londoner, and what could be more typical than a Chelsea pensioner? Now, standing beside me now is a handsome old man, with a snowy white beard, proudly wearing that well-known scarlet uniform. Might I ask your age, sir?
I'm 103.
Trust Michael to overdo it.
I suppose you've seen quite a bit of fighting in your time?
Yes, sir. During the First World War, I was in France, spent 4 years in the squenches. Full of mud they was, very nasty, squelching in the squenches, you know.
Tell me, are you at all worried about beatniks?
Beatniks, nah, never wear them. I prefer the old-fashioned...
You misunderstand me. What I mean is, what do you think of modern youth?
It's mamby-pambies, I drink nothing but orange juice, I found me grandson drinking from this bottle we have a day.
Please put that away. It's not allowed. It's enough to make you squench.
Still, it is a quite a nice shape to bottle,
this
don't
is all
you
a
think?
Put up, job. You'll get me sacked.
General Kitchener swore by
you, sir,
it, you
stop
know.
Waving that bottle. You'll hit somebody in a minute. Ouch!
Oh, I'm frightfully sorry. It just sort of flew out of my hand. Oh, I say. Oh, do get up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I regret we are unable to finish this program owing to strong local interference. And this is this afternoon saying good night until tomorrow evening.
Silence in court.
I don't deny hitting Mr. Dimblemore over the head with a bottle, but I assure you it was an accident, my lad.
There's no need to call me my lad. Sir, it's quite sufficient, and you still haven't explained why you were dressed as a Chelsea pensioner at the time.
Well, sir, it's rather a long story.
It had better be a good one. Assault with a bottle? Especially one shaped like a bullfighter. It's a very serious offence.
Well, that was the root of the whole trouble. You see, what I was trying to do was to familiarise the general public with the shape of the bottle.
So you went around hitting people over the head with it.
I only hit Mr. Dimblemore, and I only hit him once.
Well, it was quite sufficient. You realise he's been totally incapacitated for the past month.
Oh, I know, sir. I visited him in hospital several times.
That's one of the things the plaintiff is complaining about. He says you kept bringing bottles of squench.
Squench, sir. Squench.
And what is squench?
Well, that's what I've been trying to explain. It's an orange drink, and I was trying to make the public squench conscious.
Sounds like a crime in itself.
You see, sir, that's why I gatecrashed Mr. Dimblemore's programme on juvenile delinquency.
It seems to me you're a bit of a juvenile delinquent yourself. Or should I say a middle-aged delinquent?
I wasn't laughing.
So I noticed. Get on with your story.
Well, sir, I thought that if I could plug the product, sales would rise and the firm would benefit.
And did they?
They shot right up.
Really?
For about a week, then they shot right down. You see, the whole trouble was the shape of the bottle.
That's just what the plaintiff said.
Well, you see, sir, people bought it because the bottle was shaped like a bullfighter, but once they'd drunk the squench, they couldn't bear to throw the bottle away. It seemed such a waste.
Yes, my wife does that, you know, with cardboard boxes. There are whole rooms in our house stacked with boxes. Hat boxes, chocolate boxes, match boxes.
Mind you, sir, some people make some splendid table lamps out of them.
Ah, but you couldn't do that with cardboard boxes.
Oh, Mavis made a beauty.
They're not rigid, you see. You need something rigid to... Mavis? Mavis who?
Mavis Willis. She's one of our typists.
Is she good at making table lamps?
Marvellous. She's much better at that than she is at typing.
Really? Call Mavis Willis.
Call Mavis Willis. Call Mavis Willis. Call Mavis Willis.
All right, I heard you the first time. Good morning, Your Worship.
Miss Willis?
That's me, Your Grace.
I believe you're very good at making table lamps.
Oh, it's just a knack, Your Honour. Anyone can do it, really.
Well, when the court adjourns, I wonder if you'd mind staying behind after and telling me how you're doing. Now then, young man, I take an extremely serious view of your conduct, which I consider to be highly irresponsible and liable to set a bad example to other Chelsea pensioners. Therefore, I shall impose the maximum sentence that the court allows. I have no alternative but to send you to prison.
For how long?
For, until the next time you hear...
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, Dick Dimblemore by Tony Fain, and Mr. Albright and several other unlikely people by Warren Mitchell. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was found in an Egyptian tomb by Miles Rudge, with the help of Ronnie Wolfe. The program was produced, for want of a better word, by John Simmons, for want of a better producer. And the whole thing was recorded on red tape.